Welcome back to the show, everyone. Today, we have a little bit of a different topic. We're going to talk to two wonderful ladies from the Gretna Public School System, which is a local school system where Hetra is from in Gretna, Nebraska. And what's most important about that is they're going to explain to us what transition programs are. If you're not familiar with that, stay tuned, but a quick Cliff Notes version is basically high school students that are on an IEP or have a disability will have an option to do transition programming after they complete their high school curriculum, you know, all 12 years of that. So they might choose to do 1 to 3 years of some extra programming to help them gain some of those more independent life skills that can then help them transition into the workplace. Why are you hearing this on this podcast, you might be asking? Well, we have a program called Life Skills, in which our occupational therapists partner with horses and do work around the barn with those very students. So young adults who are transitioning into the workforce that want those extra skills and want to do it in a really unique environment. So if you're a program that's listening and has ever been interested in this type of work, this is going to be a good listen for you. It's a great program that is not very staff intensive and requires just a couple of volunteers. And you can have a group of, you know, up to 8 to 10 participants and get some really, really cool work done within the barn. So I hope you enjoy the episode today. Stay tuned to hear Diane from Hetra talk about our life skills program and how you can implement it and yours.
Welcome to the Not Just a Pony Ride podcast, presented to you by Hetra University. If you've landed here, you're probably passionate about how horses help people. This podcast is for anyone who helps others experience the benefits of horses or those who have experienced it themselves. If you're in the equine assisted services industry, we're here to help you. If you're here just to learn more, you're in the right place. Welcome to your community of like-minded people, where you will hear stories, education, science, and explanations about how what we do is so much more than just a pony ride. And now, from the Hetra campus in Gretna, Nebraska, here's your host, occupational therapist and CTRI, Katie Ott.
Thank you for stopping by the show. I'm excited to introduce both of you and share your wealth of knowledge with our listeners. So why don't we first introduce yourselves and what you do for education?
Thanks for having us. I'm Kendra Schneider, and I'm the Assistant Special Education Director for Gretna Public Schools. And I've spent most of my career working with young adults, secondary transition students, helping navigate their way into adulthood.
Very good. And Donna?
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm Donna Daly, and I am the secondary transition teacher for the Gretna Public Schools. And I'm really excited to be here. And thank you for having us.
Of course. Yes. So today, what I really am hoping to focus on is explaining a little bit for our listeners about what transition programming is and what makes a good program, kind of what you folks look for and how we kind of prepare our students for that. So first, whoever wants to take it, do you want to describe a little bit about when we say transition programming, you know, for our young adults, what are we talking about?
Well, I think it goes back to when we start talking about transition services at age 14, we're required by law to start that conversation. And that usually happens about at eighth grade. And so talking with students about what do you want for your future and how can we help you get there? And so, I mean, we're starting now at a younger age, talking about it with families, with the students, helping them give their voice into what their hopes and dreams are for themselves as adults. And so, and then throughout high school, we continue the conversation and into our young adult services, just making sure that we're putting programming in place to help with not only like their academics, but like how do we help prepare them for if they want to go on to college afterwards? And what are their hopes and dreams as far as like, do they want to live independently? How can we help prepare them for life after us?
Yeah, I think it's so interesting that she says that because, you know, if you think back to when you were in school, you know, people used to ask you what you wanted to do. And I don't know about you guys, but I feel like for me, it was just we automatically just kind of said what our parents did, you know, like, well, I don't know, my mom does this, so I'm going to do this. And I think it's become a thing where now we're really individualizing it a little bit better. And we're having those conversations earlier and introducing them to things earlier in life that help them decide if that's for them or not. I think before this, before, you know, the focus on transition shifted, people were just left out there to kind of try to figure it out. And I know for me personally, it took me quite a long time to decide what it was I wanted to do when I was an adult. And I was far into adulthood before I actually got there. So I think this process has helped a lot of people, not just students who are served through an IEP, but also in general, because I think we're doing a better job as a whole in Nebraska in kind of developing those things and introducing them to any kind of experience earlier. So it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Does to describe to me this, you know, a student that you would serve. So transition programming is, I know, like when I was in school, like our counselors would talk to us about like, what do you want to do for college or where do you want to go? But for those that are served by an IEP or in the special education system, can you kind of describe the, you know, student that might benefit from transition programming?
So it's always a team decision. And so for students that are served through special education, we can talk with the team to say, like, are there still things that they continue to need to work on now that they're done with their senior year? And so it's more students that need more assistance around vocational training, that need help with those daily living skills, and just continuing on to help them become as independent adults as possible. But it's always through the IEP team process. So it's never one person saying they have to do this. It's like, what does the student continue to need? Are there still IEP goals that have not been met? And how can we best serve them? And in Nebraska, it's up until age 21.
Does that, so you say in Nebraska, does that vary state to state? Because some of our listeners are obviously not from Nebraska. So
I do believe it varies from state to state.
Okay. So for those listening that might not understand that wholly and completely, I think we've all heard of IEPs. Tell me about just a synopsis of an IEP, like what, when you say the team, you know, who's all on that team and kind of how does that work?
So the team always includes the parents, the family member, there's always going to be the special education teacher. Up to a point, there's going to be the general education teacher. Usually when students transition into like young adult programs, the general education teacher isn't necessarily always at the table because we're not talking about general education at this point, because it's all special education. We always include the student at this point because we always want them to be a part of this discussion. And then just somebody from the school district that can help navigate the IEP process. But also at this age, we start bringing in adult services. If students need to access adult services, whether it be vocational rehabilitation, DHHS, what else, Donna?
Sometimes we work through counselors at Metro Community College and help them navigate some of those beginning classes. So sometimes we might invite some of those people to the table as well to kind of talk about the processes of beginning college steps and what it might take. We also sometimes include people that you wouldn't think about, like driver evaluators. So if someone's looking to get a driver's license and they have been unsuccessful up to that point, we might include them in the conversation of the IEP of what does this look like for them? What, you know, sustainably, what does this mean for them long term? Are they going to be able to drive, or are we going to have to look at other forms of getting places? So it really is, it really depends upon what the student wants to do. Long-term, who's invited to that table, we always have those main people as well. But the biggest thing is, I think at, you know, 14, including them in their own IEP so that they know it's an individual education plan. What does that mean? And why do we do this? And what am I entitled to? And what does that say? And like, what do I ask for? And how does that change when I leave from high school? Because it does change. It becomes, you know, a 504 plan or under a different thing. And so we have to make sure that they're ready for that. And we have everybody supporting them once they leave our school system as well. So we try to bring as many people to the table as we can get there. It kind of gets to be a full room sometimes and it gets to be warm in there, but we try to get as many people to the table at once as we can. And it sometimes can overwhelm people, but if we're doing it in the right way, I think that we're providing an inviting environment for them. And so I think that it becomes very instrumental in driving where they're going after that.
Right. And I think that that is imperative because when we're leaving school, I mean, we go to school every single day. We have that structure, we have that support. So then what happens, you know, after when we graduate, when we're seniors or whenever that age may be, that, you know, you're ready for that next step. So tell me about what then a transition program is. So you guys are doing all of those preparatory things for them. And that I'm assuming that's all happening before they graduate, right? Kind of the things you're talking about within their IEP.
Yes. I mean, we're doing all of these things to help prepare them for adulthood, starting even at age 14. Right. But then our transition program is more focused on throughout the day, focusing on how to help students when they're ready to leave us.
Well, when the process starts is in the high school and they start to bring up, you know, what are your plans after you graduate high school? Mm-hmm. And if a student is unsure or if we don't have a solid plan in place and they need some more support and we decide as a team that they need some more support for that, we offer up our young adult transition program. And the program runs from ages 18 to 21 here in Nebraska. And we start to figure out what their program looks like. We have a couple different options here in Gretna, and every program looks a little bit different, but ours, we have kind of tailored to our students here in the district. And what that looks like is it looks like a traditional transition program in one end. And then we have developed another program on the other end, and I'll talk about a little bit of both. The traditional young adult program serves them in the three traditional areas of transition, which is going to be your post-secondary training or skills that you're going to do. So whatever it is, if it's a job or whether you're going to college, you're going to try to help them out with some of those skills. And that might be through volunteering, or that might be through getting them in touch with somebody, you know, that can help training them as an intern, those kinds of things. Then we go through employment. So we look at, are they going to be volunteering? Are they going to be going to school? What are they going to be doing? We do some transition assessments around those to develop a plan for them with regards to what their current level of functioning is and how independent they can be. And then also we look at daily living skills. So how independent are they? At what level are they currently living, quote unquote, independently? You know, can they get in the shower? Do they know when to shower? Do they do the shower completely? Do they have to be prompted to do those things? All of those things go into our program, and we talk about all of those different aspects as part of our program. So our program kind of gives a little bit of each of those in the traditional sense. So for example, on Mondays, we have a day where we are considered in the room. It's our room day. And we put together, we have an opening, and we talk about, we always talk about current events to keep ourselves, you know, in line with what's going on around the world. We want them to be as informed as they can be. So we do current events every day. We talk about things that they might talk about at work. So, or they might talk about when they're volunteering, or they might just sit around and talk about after that. Mm-hmm. For example, a lot of our students weren't born when 9/11 happened. And so when it came about, I said, how many of you were alive then? And none of them were. And so that was an interesting perspective that they had. And then they started to look it up after we visited about it and to learn about history through that, but then also have a current event of knowing what it meant on 9/11. And they could have a conversation with their parents or with their family members or with somebody they worked with or somebody just in the community. And, you know, and they knew why flags were at half staff and those kinds of things, bringing mm-hmm. them into the loop. Then we actually have, we prepare lunches on Mondays. So we have a menu that we do the week before, and they know what they're going to have, they know what they're going to get. And we check the kitchen for the supplies. We all have basic staples that we need, you know, and mm-hmm. in our, in our kitchens, we have milk, we have bread, we have butter, we have all of those things, but they have a checklist they go through to make sure we have all of those things stocked in ours. In addition to that, then they take their menu items that they're going to have for the day and they write those down. They make a grocery list.
I'm then still trying to master that as an adult.
Yeah. same. We eat a lot of cereal. Mm-hmm. But we do teach them that. And then we actually take them to the grocery store and we have an agreement with, we use Hy-Vee there in Gretna. And we take them to the grocery store and we help them maneuver the aisles. You know, where do you find these things? You know, what classifications are these in? Where would I find toilet paper? Where would I find, you know, just the oddest mm-hmm. things? Do we throw some things in there at them so that they kind of get familiar with their local grocery store? Because a lot of things are just accessing their community, right? And so we want to have them have access to their community as much as possible. So that's one way that we do it. We take them back and we prepare our lunches. And then they have lunch together. We work on social skills. So we work on the etiquette, but also the social skills. What do you say when you're in a break room together or when you're, you know, with your colleagues having lunch or with your family? You know, we're in a society that loves our phones. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, we're going to put our phones away and we're going to talk to each other. And what do we talk about? And so we talk about those kinds of things. And we have the help of our speech language pathologists who do a great job in helping us come up with topics, and we play games around those kinds of things. So we try to bring a lot of that into our programming, our traditional programming and our other programming, to work on those communication skills a lot. And then we clean up, you know, it's never fun to do that, but we have a cleanup checklist that they have to go through and they have to do their own dishes. They have to run the dishwasher. They have to sweep the floors, mop the floors, vacuum, disinfect. We talked about how we keep everybody's safe by disinfecting, you know, that keeps mm-hmm. everybody healthy. We just came out
part
of this
our life now.
Pandemic. Yeah. It becomes part of our life. Yeah. So, that's kind of what we do. And then in the afternoons, we do some more social activities. We actually have a grant through our foundation, where we take them out to the YMCA to work on those aspects of health and fitness and keeping ourselves healthy. And if we're not doing that, we're accessing our library. So, you know, we're taking advantage of what's in our community that we have access to. And then if we're not doing that, we're enjoying our community as a whole. We're going to the parks. We're going to what would you do when you're not doing those things, when you're not yeah. working or you're not volunteering, not going to school, those kinds of things, giving them access to our community and as many people as we can so that they're in a safe environment. So we can do some of those things with them and lead them as they are navigating those things, because some of them haven't been to some of those things. So we like to do that, and so that's what our Mondays look like.
This episode is sponsored by Freedom Rider. Freedom Rider's mission is to provide safe, top quality tack, supplies, and resources for riders, horses, instructors, and trainers. Starting in 1996 as a catalog of hard-to-find specialty items for therapeutic riding and driving, this company has grown to include more items for therapeutic riding, hippotherapy, and able-bodied riders of all disciplines. By working with select manufacturers, specialized craftsmen and women, and actually developing their own products based on customer needs. This store carries everything from hard-to-find adaptive tack solutions, saddles, all different kinds of reins, educational books and curriculums, fun equipment like rings, beanbags, sensory items, and so, so much more. Check out Freedom Rider and all they have to offer at www.freedomrider.com.
Our Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays look kind of the same. We have an opening. Again, we go through a lot of current event things. We have theme days. So we have like movie trailer Mondays. We look at movie trailers to see what kind of movies they would want to invite their friends to. And then on Tuesdays, we have Transition Tip Tuesday. So we teach them about self-advocacy, or we teach them about how they stick up for themselves, or something about their disabilities or different disabilities. And we talk about those things and how they address those. On Wednesdays, we do What Would You Do Wednesdays? So we actually utilize different scenarios where, have you ever seen that? It's on that new newscast, and they do the What Would You Do? And he puts people in situations, and we see how they react, the public reacts. We do yes. a lot of, yeah. And it makes for great conversations, because what do you do when no one shows up to a kid's birthday party and you see it, you know? And has anybody ever had that happen? Or have you ever felt like you've been alone and not had, you know, the company of your friends? And it brings up great conversations. And we've done it around disabilities where a man couldn't read, and people, the general public, was reacting to that. And how would you step up for them and help them and be a good friend to them? So we work on some of those things on Wednesdays, and we utilize just different things to do that and have great conversations around that. And then Thursdays, we do Thankful Thursdays. So we watch again things, uplifting stories about how we can be a part of the community and bring positivity to our community. So we show a lot of things that people are doing, painting rocks for people or going into the nursing homes, which we also do. And we talk to them about how their presence is just a gift in itself. So we do that on Thursdays. And then Fridays, we do the prep for the Mondays. So we do a recipe review. And so they take a look at a recipe. They have to find the ingredients. They have to tell me how much it's going to take. They have to make a list. And so we kind of dissect and do a little bit with that on that. So that's the introduction, the very bitty, that's just like an hour and a half of our day of the Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays. And then I send them off to volunteer. So one of the best things about our community is we have people who are willing to welcome our young adults into their businesses as volunteers. And so currently we utilize Silver Ridge, and they go in and they have on Tuesdays, they play cards with the residents. And on Thursdays, they help paint nails. And then on Fridays, they take the senior citizens out shopping and they help them with their shopping lists. And help them, you know, just navigate the things because they have limited mobility or they just, you know, haven't been out and they need that company. So we feel really good about being able to bring some of those things to them. That's one of them we do. And then we also do Whitetail, and we work at their food service and in their classrooms. And we expose them to different careers there and different things that they might be able to do, because those are entry-level jobs that we can then put our students into our school system and have them as part of our community automatically, just as a general, and they feel comfortable doing that. So once they're done with one task, I might find them in the art room sitting down with the kids, you know, and interacting with the kids in art. And it's really cool to see how they can return to where they've been and they can kind of show what they've learned. It's a really cool opportunity. So that's our traditional program in a nutshell. And then we also have, this year we've started a program through the partnership with ACX Cinemas, the GROW program. And what it is it's an internship, and the interns have to interview for a spot with the GROW program. So they go through a series of interviewing and things like that to be accepted to our program. And if they're accepted, then they will experience 4 9-week rotations to learn the different aspects of what one business might have. So you have a business, and let's take Hetra, for example, you have multiple opportunities in that one organization to have a job. Right. How do we expose them to those? And then what do we do with that? So yes, we're teaching them, you know, some of the hard skills of working in that particular industry, but bigger than that, we're teaching them the soft skills that they need, the skills that they're going to take and they're going to utilize in any job. So, you know, I have to be at work at this time. So time management skills. So when do I need to leave for work? Am I on time? Am I consistently getting there? And then also just reporting to a boss. If I have questions, who do I go to? What's the chain of command? What does that look like? What are some of the responsibilities that I have as an employee to my other employees? To the other employees, you know, how do you interact with them? How do you help them out if you're not busy? Those kind of things are things that we really try to focus in on more than just the skills themselves, because they're going to take them with them everywhere they go. Conversation skills. What do you talk about at work? Mm-hmm. What do you not talk about at work? Right? We've all had that uncomfortable conversation where we're like, okay, I really don't want to talk about this. And having those conversations and telling them why and having it be a safe environment to learn those things has really, really been important. And we're so thankful that they have hosted us this year. It's been such a rewarding experience for us all, I think. But then we also have, like, Monday, we're going to Metro Community College and we're going to get a tour there and we're going to meet with the disability specialist there so that if they do have interest in attending school, how do they connect? What happens when, you know, they need something? How do they have access to those accommodations? And something very big that happens as you transition into that world is that it no longer becomes us telling them that they have a disability, but it becomes them having to advocate for themselves and say, I have this disability. Here are some of the accommodations I'm going to need.
Here's what I need. Right.
Absolutely. And really being able to self-advocate with themselves and teaching them those skills as we go along so that we feel like we're helping them with those processes before they actually get into the full process of attending classes. And we can say, okay, what are we seeing? What trends are we seeing? What patterns are we seeing? What do we need to help provide? What securities do we need to provide our families in order to help them be more successful adults? What is it? What areas of their life are they currently struggling with? We just came out of this pandemic, and what we're seeing now is a lot of social aspects.
Right.
We were isolated for a very long time. And so a lot of that went, we weren't talking to a whole lot of people. And so I think it's important to start. That's probably the biggest thing right now for me is letting them know how to communicate with each other and being safe with their communications and that it's okay to express their feelings. And they have a lot of feelings around those things.
Right. I think also, right now the teen, you know, kind of the teenager right now, high school, you know, they were kind of at a pivotal age where like social skills and, you know, communicating with others and their peers and things was, you know, at a pivotal time during COVID. And so I think we are seeing more of that social stuff come out and some loneliness and, you know, and some things like that where they just need, you know, assistance to navigate.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that too, I know that there's been lots of conversations around our mental health systems. And, you know, we've had to support some kids with mental health services too. And so it's what does our community need to make them the most successful at their levels that we can. And so those are just some of the factors that we're seeing that we're trying to include in our young adult programs and working with transition right now.
So like Hetra has we have a life skills program that participants will take part in after kind of they do some of this transitional programming with you folks. What advice would you give to someone that maybe is similar to what Hetra does and wants to start, you know, something like a, you know, day program or, you know, kind of that transitional programming where we're getting people ready to do some of those skills that they'll need for the workforce or whatever they're going to be doing, or even as partners in like a volunteer opportunity or something like that. Like, how do they get their foot in the door to offer some of those services?
I think about the adult services that we have in the community and making sure that, you know, that you're making things available to students with a wide range of abilities. And being able to tailor to things that they will make them happy and fulfilled as an adult. And so I think, you know, Hetra in and of itself is an amazing organization, and you are able to provide so many great things for many, many individuals in this community. And so I think, you know, as we think about the adult services that are around here, it's how are they tailoring things to just meet the needs of a wide range of individuals just to help them feel fulfilled in their lives.
Mm-hmm. And do you folks provide, or is there some kind of transition that happens with evaluating what those needs might be, you know, and if your program is able to do that? Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. We actually, during the process, every year we have two transition assessments we give. We give a formal assessment and we give an informal assessment. And so then we know kind of the areas that we're looking at per student. I think through that process of giving those transition assessments, you start to see what they're going to need. And I think that if you, like Kendra said, I think that's perfect, is tailoring it for a wide range of abilities is probably the best thing for them. And also offering what I think is wonderful and unique about your program that I love is that opportunity to have those therapies there as well. Therapies on site as part of the programming is huge because a lot of our parents say, man, we spend a lot of time running our kids back and forth to different therapies. And with your program, what I love and what I would encourage all programs to do is include those therapies as part of their programming and provide all that support within the program so that when they're at home, they can enjoy their families. So I think that's a very good, that would probably be my biggest thing to say to people mm-hmm. is to wide variety, like Kendra said, wide variety of people, wide variety of interests, even though, you know, it seems like hetero would be just for horses. It's not. There's so much in there that is included that people don't recognize. And that I think that if more people knew of all the different things that you offered, they would recognize what a great program it is already. And so I would encourage most programs to kind of look at what, you know, they're doing and include those things as part of their programming, and they'll come. It's definitely coming.
Right. I love kind of what both of you said about how every organization has lots of many different facets, right? So a lot of people, when they think HETRA or they think, you know, kind of a therapeutic riding program like ours, they think, well, you know, I don't want to work with the horses, or because of my disability, I feel like that wouldn't be safe to work with the horses or whatever it is. But you can still, there's so many things. Like we have, you know, barn maintenance people that, like, maybe you like to fix stuff, or you like to mow, or you like to, you know, do some of those types of things, or you like, we have obviously administration stuff that needs to get done. Maybe you want to learn how to file or to, you know, copy and fax and, you know, do some of that stuff or whatever. I mean, I just think I would encourage people to think, like you said, outside the box on what those tasks might be, to keep people engaged in your organization and really support your community.
Absolutely. And when you think about, you know, just the wide variety of people that you have aboard too, people like yourselves who are doing podcasts, our kids love computers. They love mm-hmm. to be on computers. They're on computers all the time. That's one good thing about them is they are very tech savvy. Mm-hmm. So having them be part of your media and marketing teams, you know, that would just be great. And also they know people in the community. So having them be part of the outreach.
Right.
And taking him as part of the outreach is going to be just so implemental to a program, to let them be seen, you know, to let them showcase what their talents are. And so I think about those things, and I think about how fortunate we are to have those opportunities with people where some other people maybe wouldn't think outside that box.
Right. And because it's not required to do transition programming, right? So they could get to 18, grade 12, and be done and move on to the next thing, right?
I would say a majority of our students do not go on to, and I mean, I'm thinking about how many students we graduate every year. And right now, how many do you have total in your program, Donna?
I have 13 right now. Yeah, 13. In the program.
And so will some of those people that do not participate in transition programming find their own external resource, or, you know, they're going to the job or the workforce, or, you know, they felt prepared, or, you know, what would you say the majority are doing?
I think it just depends on what their hopes are. I mean, we have a lot of students with disabilities that go into college and they are able to, access a 504 plan and be successful at college. Some students just want to go into the workforce right away. But that's why it's so important that we start these conversations with families
early.
Help if they're help figure out what their child wants to do after high school.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, this was an enlightening conversation. I learned a ton. And I was an OT in the school system for a while. So I even learned a lot today too. And I think that it's fantastic. All the resources and partnerships that you guys have. I would encourage, you know, anybody listening to get plugged in with their, you know, their school system and some of those you know, programs, because it's good for not only the students, they benefit, right? But also for the community, and, you know, keeping everybody plugged in and doing better. That's what we want, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thank you both for joining me. You know that you're both very busy, and I kept you on a Friday of all things. So thank you very much. And I hope that we can partner and, you know, do something together down the road more than we already have.
You know that we will.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Don't press pause yet. Stay tuned to hear Diane talk about Hetra's Life Skills program.
Thank you for joining me, Diane. So tell me who you are and what you do for Hetra.
So my name is Diane Bemis, and I'm an occupational therapist at Hetra, and I work with the Life Skills program.
You do a lot.
Therapies. And
yeah, you're in the arena doing therapy. Mm-hmm. You do some with our veterans group, right? Mm-hmm. But the primary job duty I want to talk to you about today mm-hmm. is the Life Skills group. Mm-hmm. So tell me, in a nutshell, so our life skills group is basically for adults, young adults and adults with disabilities. Mm-hmm. They come to us to seek guidance in some of those transitional life skills, right? Mm-hmm. So what are the things that you're working on with those folks, and what benefits do you see?
The participants who are coming are working on life skills, which could include working on communication, social skills. It could be working on getting along with others, mm-hmm. teamwork. And we're doing that all through the use of the horse mm-hmm. and the different activities that we do around the barn.
I think that that's one of the most unique things about our life skills program is that, yes, we have the horses and they're a fantastic partner for us to teach a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. But we also have so much other awesome mm-hmm. stuff at the barn, right? Yeah. Like you guys have a garden mm-hmm. and what other kinds of stuff do you guys work on? Yeah.
So we have the garden, the sensory trail. In a typical day, we kind of include chores that we do around the barn, but then we're also working on maybe work skills while they're stocking or mm-hmm. Taking inventory of something. Then we're working on those work readiness skills. And the barn is just a nice environment to be able to do all those activities because there's tons of things to do. And, mm-hmm. and it's not boring because we're changing it every week. We're doing different things each week mm-hmm. and, you know, building on those skills. But it's also a chance for them to see that they are valuable to our program because just like the volunteers, they're helping out and they, you know, see that they're part of a bigger picture.
Yeah, it really gives a purpose, right?
Yes, yeah.
So how do you see our life skills program impacting those participants? So after our life skills program is, what, 12 weeks, you know, usually, mm-hmm. and some will come for several, sessions in a row, but then mm-hmm. where do participants go maybe after they've mastered our life skills program, if you will?
Yes, so some are able to take some of the work skills that they learned and are able to take it on to a job or mm-hmm. some kind of a vocational program.
Yeah, or volunteering.
Right, or volunteering. Yeah. We do have participants who are volunteering mm-hmm. from that.
And I think some of our participants, too, even found, like, leisure and hobby and things that they enjoy. Like, a lot of them go on to ride or carriage drive or do something like that, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So we do have some participants that they do the life skills in the morning, and then right after that, then they go ride.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just makes a nice,
whole picture for them. Yeah, I love that. So what would you say to someone that maybe another center that's listening and wants to start a program like Life Skills, like we have, you know, where would you start? Or I guess, do you have any advice for establishing some partnerships that way?
Yes, I think this would be a nice, you know, partnership for any Life mm-hmm. Skills program because it's, you know, putting them into a new environment where they're continuing to work on the goals that they're probably working on there. Mm-hmm. Only we're using the agricultural environment, but then also working on doing the activities through the horse and taking that back into what they're learning with the life skills and caring for themselves.
Right. So how often is our life skills happening? I know we have it. We have life skills happening every morning, mostly during the week, but they're different groups, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So they're coming to us one morning a week as kind of a complimentary thing to whatever they're currently doing.
Correct. Yeah.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, thank you, Diane. I appreciate you sitting down with me and talking about life skills. I think it's a really unique program that other centers could definitely offer and definitely has value, right?
Yes, absolutely. I'm super excited about our programs. And I think all the people who come are really, you know, enjoyable to work with. Mm-hmm. And I think that they take something away every time that they come. I also think that them coming every week, it gives them also that temporal adaptation of a place to be and a purpose. And
yeah, which I think so many kids and young adults after they leave school or whatever structured, you know, environment they were in, then getting back to that routine and that, you know, that purpose and that sense of being is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to another episode. Until the next one launches, stay connected to our community by joining the Not Just a Pony Ride Facebook group. There, we share exclusive educational content, answer your questions, and review new and exciting developments for the EAS community. Don't forget, if you have suggestions for future episode topics or a lead on a great guest that you think our audience would enjoy, click on the link in the show notes or visit us at hetrauniversity.org. This podcast is presented by Hetra University, an educational arm of the Heartland Equine Therapeutic Riding Academy. Hetra University's mission is to provide high-quality educational offerings to our participants and the EAS community. If you'd like to help us work toward our mission, you can make a donation by visiting us online at hetra.org. Again, I can't thank you all enough for helping Hetra change lives one stride at a time.